Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest joining us this morning.
That's right, the legendary Common.
Common's in the building. Morning, sir.
Peace, peace. What's up, y'all?
Now, Common, before you walked in, Envy said, man, Common's one of those people, I'm scared of his eyes.
No.
Why would you tell him what he said?
He said he's got those crazy eyes.
I did not say
what you said, Envy. What you said, bro?
Charlamagne, he said that in confidence,
no,
too.
I think I might have told him. I said, Common's one of those individuals. You don't play with it. He has that eye, that. Like, I'm from Chicago. And
you can die tonight.
Absolutely. I interviewed a lot of people. Common has that eye.
He said T.I. has that eye.
Music Soul Child got that eye.
I got that shot. That's right. I ain't lying.
That's a different eye, you ass. But welcome to the show, sir.
Oh, man, thank you. I'm glad to be here. What's up, man?
Well, I hate to start the interview off like this, but 40 people shot in Chicago this past weekend.
Yeah.
4th of July, it was like 70 shot. What the hell's going on in your city, man?
Man, it's just tough out there, man. It's been like guns is everywhere. That's the way cats think that. That's the way they think they should handle it. It's like, man, I'm about to pop this cat. That's just the way the youngest been raised now. That's what they know. So, you know, we on a mission to stop that. That's what I'm on. Like, that's my whole mission from now to forever. I'm on that.
So how do you stop that, though? I mean, it just seems so violent out there.
Man, it's gonna take a thing. It's gonna take a lot, man. Mm-hmm. I ain't got all the answers, but I know for sure, like, giving shorties jobs, because I be around, like, some of the youngins, and they like, man, we got to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when they get jobs, they like, okay, man, maybe I ain't got to go out here and do no hustling. I ain't got to be on the street. So that's one thing to help. Me and Kanye did this thing with our foundations where we helped get 20,000 jobs for kids in Chicago. But then this program, you know, think about when we was being raised, we had stuff to do, man. Mm-hmm. We could play ball, go whatever, play baseball, do something, man. You just got to have something for them to do that's productive.
I like that you acknowledge it's a problem, though, because a lot of people in Chicago, you talk to them, and they be like, it ain't that bad here. Stop believing everything you see on the news.
Nah, man, I just left there yesterday, and it was like, man, a little 11-year-old girl just got killed having a sleepover. Nah, that's a problem, G. Like, when you got just innocent people getting shot, people thinking like, man, everybody rolling around with guns, it's like, no, that's a problem, man. You can't nobody be proud of that.
Right. And also, when you go in the neighborhoods and you see there's a lot of houses that are abandoned or burnt down, it's like, when are they going to fix up the neighborhood, too?
Yeah, man, it's. I ain't gonna lie, when I go home sometimes, I'll be like, it saddens me. I ride around my old neighborhood, and it's like, man, damn, this is how it is. But, you know, like I said, we making moves. I always try to look at the positive, be like, man, we about to change this, you know. So that's what it is. You know, I'm teaming up with people that's in the field, because there's people out there doing that work every day, you know, so I'm teaming up with them, too.
Yeah, we got superintendents from Chicago wanting us to come talk at the schools. I'm scared.
Man, we need y'all to come talk, man.
I'm scared to step foot in Chicago.
You think about my eyes looking crazy when you see them shorties, man. You'd be like, yo. I mean, but really, when you get around some people, you kind of see, you know, people start, they'd be happy to see, they'll be happy to see y'all, man. And when they see people like yourself, or, you know, like, they feel like they can do something, because that's all it is sometimes. It's just them seeing somebody that made it, man, because think about it. They ain't around nobody that's doing nothing.
But they got Barack. They got Oprah. Y'all got somebody greater than
that. They got Common.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got people that made it out.
That's very true, but they don't see that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just like, man, they think you so distant. I remember I did this song with this girl, Dreezy, from the crib. And she on the album and stuff. But and when I did it, like, some people call me like, man, I feel like, I mean, they called really some of my guys and was like, man, I feel like we can make it. Your boy Common messing with Dreezy. It's just like, sometimes they think Oprah just a distance, you know, like
figure.
A present. Yeah,
oh, she is.
Like,
she is. You're not going to touch Oprah.
That is God's only begotten daughter.
I party with Oprah, man. Oprah cool, man.
I party with Oprah.
Yeah, bro. We just did
a Oprah do the nay-nay?
I don't know. I don't know about this. No, she might have it.
She probably do the shmoney dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the name of your album is Nobody Smiling. Is that anything to do with Chicago?
Yeah, that's what that's for. That's okay. It's really talking about the situation in Chicago, and like I said, it's a call to action more than just being like, hey, we gonna stay like this. Of course, that came from that Rakim thought, you know, from the ghetto when he said nobody's smiling. Right. But you know, it was just me and No ID discussing what we could do to give back, because I feel like I've always represented Chicago, but I could do more. You know, I got my foundation. I got different things. But it's like, when you see what's going on, you feel like, man, I got to do more, you know?
Well, you did a lot of collaborations with artists from Chicago as well. A lot of the upcoming artists from Chicago. So that was a great thing.
Yeah, like Lil Herb and Dreezy. And, you know, I got Lil Bibby and all the, and like who else? G Count and this dude KD. I got all them on my cover, on my album covers. Like I did different versions, just saying, hey man, y'all, because you know one thing was like they was looking at me like, oh man, you know you acting, you doing this. I'm like, man, I'm here with y'all. Like, I mean, I ain't every day in Chicago, but I'm here. I'm gonna do what I could do to help y'all. So that's what I'm on.
I was
on.
Gonna ask that. You know, with you doing so much acting and your movies are successful, why do you continue to do music? Like, it's no money in the music industry no more.
I want to say there's no
30%.
Money.
It's harder to make money in the music industry now. It's not like before, you know, where you could go on tour and make a couple hundred grand. It's just hard.
Well, it's money when your man becomes the executive vice president of Def Jam. Exactly. Come on, man, let me cut this check for you.
And it has to feel good collaborating for you with No ID, because that's your, you know.
Yeah. You know what's good, though, with No ID, man? Like, obviously, I grew up with him since fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And now, we kind of went our separate ways for a second after three albums, and then we got back together after he's working with Ye. But, man, one thing about him being exec at the label, it's kind of I work smarter because before, you know, you'd be in the studio recording, using up your budget. But now, you got somebody that knows how record companies work, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of good insight that you get from having somebody. Plus, man, they care about hip-hop. Him and hip-hop, them dudes, like, care about the culture, right. So... That made me like be like, man, I definitely want to be on Def Jam. It's like a great place for me.
Would you sign it if he wasn't the executive vice president?
It just depends on who was the person that was signing me, really, more than anything. But you know, soon as because at first he was like we was talking about it. He was like, man, I might be the exec then. I was like, all right, well, let me know.
Yeah,
because I was just really for me. If you was asking why I make music, you got to have a purpose for me. I got to have like. Like, what motivated me to do this album was I was like, man, this is a chance for me to give back for real and really talk about what's going on from a different perspective. Because, mm-hmm. you know, y'all here, you know, we got the Chief Keys, we got Lil Reese, we got Dirk, we got Bibby, Chance. It's a lot of people just talking about Chicago, but, you know, I'm going to give a different perspective just because of what I've seen.
Was there a period of time when you thought you and No ID wouldn't ever work together again? Because y'all really had, like, a major... You know, I think he felt slighted, like he wanted you to call on him to work and you just weren't. And
yeah, I mean, it was definitely for a while we weren't cool, point blank. And I didn't know when we was going to hook back up, but it was luck. You know, it was just like, man, he was working with Ye in the studio and we just started getting back cool. It's like somebody you know since fourth grade, you could always, one thing when I'm working with him, he could always go back to like, come on, man, you that South Side, you know, you that guy from the crib, man, like. He reminds me of what we did this for and what we do it for, you know?
You still work closely with Kanye?
Yeah, we ain't worked together in a long time, but, you know, that's my guy. But it's like, for me, I like working with Ye when he in that zone and want to work. Like, I'm like, yeah, if he, you know, because he got to be motivated. Ye is that type of person that's got to, like, he been working on his music. But, you know, if he like, man, come on, Rosh, let's do this. Then I'm with it. But if not, then I'm just like, man, we good. We friends. We ain't got to work, you know.
Right. What do you think about his rants and stuff? You ever pull him to the side and give him some OG wisdom?
Yeah, you know, I didn't talk to him not about not ranting because I like the fact that, you know, he's speaking his mind. I'm like, yo, man, speak your mind. I think for me it's like showing a certain courage to go out there and just say what you feeling, man, and that's what it is. He always been like that too, so I don't never be like, man, don't do you, because he been like that since I know him. He come to my basement saying not saying some of the exact same things, but he'd just say just whatever's on his mind. So and my homies would be ready to box him, they'd be ready to whoop on him. You know, that's just but anyway, it's like I talk to him about just stuff that's going on in life, and then, you know, he might gather some information. But at the same token, I'll be learning from him too, you know.
All right. Did you go to the wedding?
Yeah, I went to the wedding. It was good, man.
A nice wedding?
Man, it was real dope, man. It was like simple. It felt real family.
It didn't seem simple at all. It seemed far from simple.
Yeah, I don't know if
it was simple. $1 million
simple.
But look, you know how you can buy something real nice, but you ain't got to, like, you ain't got to ball it out. Like, you know, like, you can get a dope car, and you ain't got to put rims on it. Right. It was that type of simple. You in Florence, Italy. You looking at this beautiful place. Well, you ain't got to do a whole lot. They had, like, just simple stuff, nice wine, champagne, and all that. And then, you know, just good music, man, and it felt family, man. Everybody was having fun. Cass was rapping, you know, at the wedding. So that's why I'm saying it just felt simple and fun. It wasn't like, I was thinking, you know, I ain't know what to expect, to be honest.
Ryan Seacrest gonna hop out of camp.
But it was real cool, man. My mother went with me, and we just kicked it.
You think you ever get married?
I don't know, man. I was thinking about that last night, talking to one of my friends, this lady friend. I'm like, I don't know if I'm marriage material. Maybe one day.
This is before or after you hit it? Were you still talking about it?
This is before.
Okay.
Why would you say you're not marriage material?
I mean, I just like, man, I'll be focused on my music a lot and work a lot, acting and different things. So sometimes that's hard to balance with a relationship, you know, like.
But you seem like a relationship kind of guy.
I do like relationships, but I'm saying a lot of times I've been in relationships, I don't make my best albums. and like, sometimes it's like, you know, when you're in a relationship, well, put it this way, you got to find, I would have to find the right relationship.
Like a producer or something, she could produce the album.
No, but I'm just saying a woman that understand the time you got to give to your work. You know what I mean? That's really more than anything. Because, I mean, it ain't like I'm just only doing music. It's like I'm working to do other things. And, right. And a person got to really understand that.
I think I saw somewhere where you said you were done with industry chicks. Like you wanted like to date a teacher or a journalist or something.
He didn't say he was done. He said.
Yeah. I'm saying I ain't, you know, I was kind of over it for a second for sure. Like,
he said,
man,
for a second.
He's like, I don't want to be beefing on songs about
right
chicks
back.
No more. See, you know,
so for me. Now it's like, who, you know, if the right woman come, if she a teacher or an actor, an actress, I'm with it. You know, I'm just going to look at the person more than anything.
You had a nice little roster of industry chicks, though. You had Taraji P. Henson, Serena Williams.
That's a decent. That's a nice roster.
Hey,
Kerry Washington.
Kerry, too?
Well, you
they
know,
they doing it.
High field goal percentage. Damn.
Ain't no scandals here, man. easy. She married that.
You admitted the Combat Jack, I think it was, that Erykah Badu really does got that good, like the hood
man,
always thought.
Hey, yeah, the hood know what it is. I mean, she, you know, Erykah got something with her. She got something special, man.
She had Common Twisted for a little bit. You don't remember?
Did she hit you about that? Like, why are you talking about my box on interviews?
Nah, she just retweeted some good stuff. Like, you know, Erykah, raw girl, man. She got a lot to her. So she from the hood, point blank. She just one of those people from the hood that's artsy and artistic and spiritual and all this. She, you know, she got a lot to her.
But you can't be mad when a guy says positive things about your box.
She gave girls tips. She said, drink raw cranberry juice. That's how you get that Badu box. That's what she said. Did you see a lot of cranberries around?
I saw a lot of veggies and green juices.
Yeah.
Now, I also read somewhere that you were thinking about investing in Broadway plays and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something you're considering? Because I heard it's pretty rough.
Yeah, no, I want to do Broadway. I'm going to do Broadway as an actor, but also I'm looking, you know, at producing some Broadway plays because I'm getting into that as far as my live performance, making it more theater-like, you know, because it's just, man, I've been rocking shows for a long time, so I want to bring something new to the table for the audience, too.
But the Tupac play needs you right now. Holla at the Emmy. Just ended Sunday. And everybody's saying the play is pretty good, but it just, you know, I don't think it's... It's
financially, they
the
said
people.
It. They said financially it was just really rough. They didn't know all the things they had to pay for, and you know, as far as getting the audience to come,
$500,000 a week. He
and
said,
"And hip hop on Broadway is tough for audience."
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to, you know, bring something that's gonna have it. It's gonna be real, true, but at the same token, universal. I don't know, you know, I ain't get to see the play, so I can't say how that play was. But I do check out theater, and that's why I want to, you know, do some theater myself.
What would you recommend to go see a play for? Well, all the guys out there looking to take somebody on a date.
I go to Broadway all the time, FYI.
What's some of your favorites?
The last thing I saw was Rocky on Broadway, I believe.
How was that? Was it good?
I didn't like it as a musical.
I want to see Motown, the musical.
I'm taking my mom to see that.
Yeah, I went with my mother and my grandmother to see that. That was a good play. I mean, a good musical. But I like stuff with drama, this play called Death of a Salesman. It's like an old classic play. Right, and Philip Seymour Hoffman was in that before he passed. I went and seen that. I'll be going to see, I'm going to see this one called Cabaret, this lady named Michelle Williams. You know, I'll be into these different things because as an actor, I got to keep learning too and keep growing. So that's why I'll be checking out everything.
As you get older, do you look for other ways to perform as an artist? Because I always say you're one of the artists that as you grow older, you're not going to look stupid performing the songs you got.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you on that. I actually have been, like, I've been growing with my performance because I used to just, like, jump, just feel the energy and jump up. But now, like, lately I've been understanding that the presentation go, like, you give it that drama and stuff, you know, and that's part of that is coming from me just understanding what a story is. And so now my live performance, sometimes I'm just like, man, you know, I might do a song sitting on a stool for a second and then just come out and then just get live on another, turn up on another song, then come, you know. So, yeah, my performance is definitely growing. And that's like you said, I want to make music that, like, when I'm 60 years old, I could be like, man, this song was cold and I still could rock it.
I was surprised when I seen you perform, and I'm surprised a lot of people don't talk about your performance because you go from, like you said, sitting on a stool to breakdancing in the middle of the set. And I'm like,
you ain't going to be doing that when you're 60. You got to worry about that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's, I feel like a show. I seen people doing great shows. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I used to see Big Daddy Kane and KRS-One and, shoot, I seen the Jackson 5 when I was a shorty. That was my first concert. Mm-hmm. So it was like, man, I think about shows, and I really want to perform. Right. And one thing I know I got to do is, like, in performances, sometimes I'm doing shows, and, like, the crowd know all my songs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do. But when they don't, you gotta win them over. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be in the performance than just, like, you know, if I had all hits, it would be a different thing. But right. that. But I still would want to give a performance just because of where I come from, you know.
Now, you reacted to Marvel Comics announcing that there's a black Captain America. You said you thought it was a great thing. And I remember at one point you were supposed to play Green Lantern previously.
Yeah. I was the Green Lantern for a minute because we was doing the movie Justice League.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you had the gig?
Yeah, I had the gig. We went down to Australia. And I had the suit on and everything. It was like,
where are those pictures? You know, who needs those?
You know, I was ready, man. But I mean, you know, I was geeked because I was like, man, at that time, this was 2008. I was like, man, it ain't really black superheroes out there. And this dude it was a Latino brother too that was playing. He was playing Superman. And at the time, we was like, man, black and Latino kids go see us and be like, damn, I could be a superhero. Because you think about it. A lot of superheroes they seeing is just only white. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was one of those things that the movie didn't go after a minute. But if it come back around, hopefully I'll do it, you know.
Well, no, it's coming out. They're doing it. They're starting it with the Batman versus Superman, introducing a lot of the Justice League and that. And then they're supposed to do the movie in like 2016 or something.
I'm just hoping they use the black Green Lantern.
The black Green Lantern and the Spanish Superman.
That would be dope. But now they already got that Superman, so they probably gonna use that Superman. So they gotta have some Spanish cast in there somewhere, man.
So how did they tell you that, you're not gonna be Green Lantern no more?
No. What happened was the movie just didn't fell apart where it just didn't go because it was a writer's strike at the time, and they was like, nah. But really, the truth I heard that you know, the people that were doing behind Batman was like, we don't wanna have no Justice League come out before we finish the Batman trilogy. So, I mean, I understand that.
DC's ruining that whole franchise, man. DC sucks.
Yeah, I'm
a Marvel guy.
Yeah, you're a Marvel guy.
He has Wolverine tatted on his arm.
Yes, I do.
Show him.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Struggle
tattoo. Guy when he's like 10.
Damn, G.
Yeah, not with no damn 10. Jesus, more like 17,
That's your
18.
Favorite? That's your favorite?
Absolutely. Him and Luke Cage.
You hate that you have that tattoo.
I do, because, I mean, it means something to me, but I don't want to walk around with a Wolverine tattoo. My daughter's 6, and she's asking me about, why do you have that on your arm, and I have no real explanation for it.
Man, that's the reason why I ain't really getting no tattoos, because I might be changing my mind too much. I'd be like, man, I wouldn't like it maybe three months later, you know what I mean?
You ever thought about getting one, though?
I mean, sometimes I thought about it quick, but I ain't.
What would you get?
Man, I don't know. It had to be something like
you ever thought about
Angel
getting a tennis
wings.
Racket with a heart? Tennis
racket with a broke heart.
Nah, man. I'm thinking Angel Wings or something like that, you know. But I ain't really. That ain't me. The tats ain't me.
Did Serena really break your heart, man? Because I saw in an interview with Vlad TV, you admitted that the whole issue with Drake was over Serena.
He didn't say that.
Well, look, let me break it down real quick so I can be specific. Okay, it's like, you know, me and Serena was together. We broke up. I don't know specifically about Drake. If you know, obviously it felt like something was going on. I ain't dwelling it too much.
So you thought Drake was hitting it when y'all was together?
Nah, after. So I ain't got no problem with that. You do what you do. Even if somebody dealing with your lady while you with her, that ain't they fault. That's on your lady. You and your lady. So really? I wasn't tripping on that.
Unless they're your friend.
Unless they're your friend, right? Unless
Floyd
they're your
Mayweather.
Friend. Drake was on after a while. I felt like in some of his songs he was like saying stuff that I felt like was subliminal to me.
I was like,
you just don't know. And like nowadays, you know, cats be doing those sneak disses. I'm like, nah, man, I just come out and say what I got to say. So after a while, it was like, I don't know enough. And it was like one, it was a show where I was at and I left. And then Drake was like, man, he said something to the, you know, out in the crowd, like, man, it, you know, he was saying some tough stuff. So then I was
What did he say?
I can't remember, like, man, but it was something like, man, yo, they don't know they don't want to mess with me, though. They can't mess with me.
See
but
that
I was,
eye? Look at that eye right there. Look at that eye.
So then I was like, all right, you know, all right, now it's time. You know, it was that time because I knew he was directing it to me.
Yeah.
So that's when it, you know, but we kept it on record. And then everything got squashed.
That's real for you to admit that, though. Did you ever, like, call Serena and say, yo, you messing with homie?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely talked to her about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, once they, you know, she ain't your lady, ain't too much, you know, what can I say? It ain't got nothing to do with me at that point.
Would you do anything different now? Like, would you reach out to him first and be like, hey, you subbing me? And
but that's not your friend, so.
Yeah, I don't know him like that. But if I'd have saw him, I would have said face to face. Cause I'm a person that's gonna confront the situation. Like that's just what it is. And I would have just said face to face, yo, you dissing me? What's up? You know, like, what's up? Like, you got something against me? You know, and we'd go from there. But
you know what the worst is when you date somebody and then she starts dating somebody else, but she tells them your business.
Oh man,
and then you feel like dating.
Yeah, see, I try not to even, you know, I try not to even get with women that I feel got that gene
that
in them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like. Mm-hmm. Like if a woman talking a lot around me about certain stuff, we ain't moving.
She talk to you about people, she'll talk to other people about
exactly,
you.
Exactly. Yeah. So if she talking to me about, so I don't even, you know, I don't even keep them in my circle. They easily.
Now during the Erykah Badu stage, right? Mm-hmm. You changed a lot.
Yeah.
What was the craziest thing that relationship made you do?
And can you auction off some of those outfits now for charity?
But I think the craziest thing I did was drinking wheatgrass all the time. That was
wheatgrass. I drink wheatgrass 3-4 times a week
now.
That was a great thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a positive.
You drink wheatgrass? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was a positive. Okay, it wasn't bad then.
Okay, all right.
Actually, that relationship wasn't bad. It was like, it was some changes going on, but it was like good changes, like what we're talking about, mm-hmm. wheatgrass. And it wasn't like she was like, yo, drink this. It was just like, it's like you around somebody that's healthy.
Right.
And my goal was like, man, I want to be healthier. You know, I came to New York and I was starting to get it to myself more. I moved to Brooklyn and was like, man, I'm going to do this. So I was around people that was like creative. Like, it wasn't like she was like, yo, you should put on that crochet hat.
Yeah, I think it was a style of dress. It was a style of dress.
Yeah, but she wasn't like, you know, I was trying to find my style.
You trying to fit in with her, and you was
I was trying to find my style within that, you know, within that, my individuality within that. But, you know, hey, that's a strong woman. I give it up to E.
What did Chicago say to you when you was dressing like that?
Like, where you at, bro? They was like, what? Where you at, man? What's up? What's like? What's popping, bro? What we need to come talk to you, man? Mm-hmm. We need what we need to do. My friends, you know, my mother.
You said my mom.
You lost me around Electric Circus. I was like, he's a bit out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I went out there. Sometimes, you know, honestly, sometimes that for me, like that's part of being an artist. You got to go through those things because mm-hmm. if I kind of keep creating or keep doing the same thing, then people throw that away. So it's like you got to follow whatever you really are. And if it's something that, you know, you're going to lose some people, you lose them. Hopefully you come back with a B after that or something, you know, that's going to be like, all right, cool, you back with some stuff. Gotcha. You know?
That's what I'm hoping happens to Kanye. I feel like Yeezus was his Electric Circus. I hope his next album is his B.
Yeah. I mean, I think Yeezus was dope, but I also think that Yeezus was, I mean, the reason why I called it his Electric Circus because some of his natural fans was like, what is this? But he knows how to make songs and market them so well. Electric Circus didn't get no, like, publicity, really. Right. It was, like, dissed and, like, you know, it wasn't getting out there. Like, Kanye was out there with Yeezus, you know what I mean?
At least he sold records.
Yeah, he sold records. Yeah. And he went out on tour.
You ever feel like you missed out with Badu because you didn't get a baby? Like, all the other dope MCs got a baby. DLC got a baby. Andre 3000 got a baby. J Electronica got a baby.
No, man, look, I don't want to be in... I got one daughter. I definitely don't want no more baby mamas.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
But then you also don't feel like you're marriage material. So basically.
So I can't look. I'll say this. I might walk out the building and there might be a woman there, and we start talking and things start going forward. I'm just saying right now. I guess I'm just in the mode of like, like, man, I'm enjoying being single. Mm-hmm. That don't mean I don't, like, go out. I'm be going out with ladies and dating. And then, you know, as things evolve, if it happens, it'll happen. But as far as, you know, I definitely made a decision after one child. I'm like, I'm only having a baby if I'm married at that point. Because, you know, the baby mama situation ain't the best.
What if you had a slip-up, though?
Ain't no slip-ups, man. You got to. I'm a grown man now. You can't.
You know when you're slipping up.
Yeah, I know when I'm hitting something wrong. but ain't no slip-ups.
Yeah. Well, has your mom ever met one of your women that you were dating and wanted you to get married to them?
Yeah. She definitely. My mother has been, you know, she's been like, man, why don't you get married? She want the best for me, and she think marriage is the best. But, you know, I know what's good for me, so I do, you know, I do what's right. Because I know. I'm a person that's like, I'd rather be honest and be like, I ain't at that point yet than to be leading somebody on. And at the same token, like, I ain't going to just do it, get married, because that's what you're supposed to do, or because my mother say, yeah, why don't you get married? It's like, nah, man, it got to be something that's real sacred for real.
Out of Taraji, Erica, and Serena, who did mom really like?
And Carrie.
Like that's the one.
I think, my mother loved Taraji, and... And funny enough, she got cool with Serena, like, even more after we broke up, which is crazy.
Damn, man.
It made it awkward. Like, mom, we broke up with Serena.
Yeah. Okay. Like, what's up with, but nah, I'm, you know, at the end of the day, after a while, I was kind of like, man, I like how they got a little sisterhood, you know, because it's like, at the end of the day, I got love for Serena, so I want to see her successful. So she talking to somebody older and getting some advice, or they just kicking it, it's all good. But it was funny that they got cool after. Mm-hmm. I mean, they wasn't like enemies or nothing before, but they got cool after.
That's me. Serena really loves you, man. She wanted to keep in touch some way, somehow. She needed that connection.
But, you know, oh, that's your words. That's where
you need to get it back.
Don't play around with
this album. I don't go back, bro.
You'll go back.
You'll never get back with Serena.
Why don't you go back?
I mean, it's like once I've experienced that person and I feel like, man, I just feel like sometimes life moves on. I can't say I never would go back, but I most of the times, it, like, Serena and Erica was the most serious relationships that I had as an adult. Mm-hmm. And after, it was one of those things where I'm like, man, I gotta move forward, because it took work. That was real love right there. Mm-hmm. Both of them women I could have married, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it's just like, well, you know, I obviously ain't supposed to be there. That's what I feel like. It's like, well, I ain't supposed to be there. We just supposed to be friends. So I just keep it moving.
Right.
How did you develop such a great relationship with Maya Angelou?
Rest in peace to Dr. Angelou. You know what? I did this benefit with her. And actually, before I did the benefit, I went to her house just to meet with her. Because she knew me, but she ain't knowing me that well. And then she just wanted to get to know me before I did the benefit. And we just was talking, man, and just talking about Tupac, talking about Paul Robeson, talking about all type of things in life. And then we just got cool. We did. And then I would go down for her birthday parties. And like, I'm glad I went to Oprah through her this party like last year. And I was like, seeing if I could go. I couldn't go. I just went, man. I was feeling sick. I went. Man, I'm glad I made it, because it was like.
That was the last time you seen her?
Well, yeah, that was the last time I seen her. And yeah, man, I'm glad I went. It was one of those things. We had a great time, too, but it's just one of those things. It was something, man. When she, the day before she passed, I was doing this movie. I ain't stunting, but I was doing this movie with Oprah, and we was talking about her. And
he said, I ain't stunting.
It's the truth.
Yeah, I was doing this movie with Oprah, and we was talking about her. And she was like, I was like, man, I'm going to go see Dr. Angelou. And, man, the next day she passed, it was kind of crazy. It was like, I mean, it was crazy. But she did, man. She lived a full life, though.
She criticized you once for using the N-word. Did that convo ever stop you from using it, or how did it?
Nah, it didn't really stop me, because I understood where she was coming from, and it was like, I got to give respect to her for saying that, because, yo, she got a whole nother understanding of that. And, but, you know, I am who I am, and the purpose of me using it ain't to bring nobody down, so... Like, my intentions wasn't that, so that's why, you know, I was like, hey, I understand what you're saying, and I respect you for it. But the beautiful thing, she was on that album, too, and she, you know, regardless of whether I used that word or not, she still was like, look, this is my, like, son or grandson, so she gave me love.
That's what it is. Well, the album's in stores today.
I got one more question because, you know, he's a socially conscious brother, so I want to ask him this. What do you think our number one enemy out here is? The police, when you see situations like Eric Gardner that happened this weekend, or ourselves when you see the 40 shot in Chicago?
I think it's ourselves more than anything because, like, you can't really control what other forces, you know, just like a human being. Like, you can control yourself. Like, you could get around a person, and if they acting wild and they acted a fool, you ain't got to act a fool with them. And, like, I think the community, we don't have to act a fool. The police could be acting a fool, and it will, honestly, it will be some incidents where we may lose some people to police violence, but I believe we losing, you know, more people but at our own hands and our own, like, ignorance in the way we, you know, acted towards each other. But, man, it's just lack of love, bro. We need some love.
I feel like we hate the system more than we love ourselves.
Yeah, man.
Even when it happened 4th of July weekend, I think it was like the cops were involved in like 6 of the shootings. Yeah. And people were more mad at the cops than the other 70 people that got shot by us.
Yeah, man. I mean, we, you know, I hear, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff going on in the world. I'm like, man, it's a lot going on. And it ain't just in Chicago. It's all over. But Chicago has been tough. And it's like, man, you just got to. That y'all ask what we could do to help, man. We just got to give them hope, man. When Shorty's talking about they ain't got no hope, I hear them say that all the time. I just heard some kids in my program like talking about, man, we don't want to go outside. We don't even want to, you know, they feeling like there ain't nothing they can do. So we just got to give them hope in different ways. It ain't no just one way. We just give them hope.
So, Charlamagne Envy, are we going to Chicago?
Yes.
I go to Chicago. You coming?
Yeah, I come with Kyle, man.
You'll go if he's there.
You know, I'm going to go.
You guys are the worst. I went to Chicago. I went to Englewood.
And tell him what happened.
Nothing. It was
Tell him what happened while you were sitting there.
Shout out to my guy Spenzo from Chicago. I was talking about a great young rapper, young artist.
Will you tell him what happened while you were sitting there?
I was all over the place. I was in the studio.
Did you tell him about the gunshots?
No one got. I don't know what happened. I heard something in the distance.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't 4th of July.
We were in the part that Derek Rose.
It was not 4th of July. Nowhere near 4th of July.
Englewood, yeah. I mean, you hear that in Brooklyn sometimes.
I heard that on my block this weekend.
Thank you.
So,
there you
know,
go.
Come on. Change your environment. You need
nah, we're going to go out there and speak to the schools.
All right,
with
be
a
dope.
Lot of Fruit of Islam security and
that'd be dope,
white
though.
Guys in suits, too.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a couple people you can call in Chicago. You'll be fine.
Okay. Well, Nobody Smiling is in stores right now. Make sure you go pick it up. It's his 10th studio album. We appreciate you joining us, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You do too long. You got to come up here more frequently, man.
10 albums. Wow.
Man, I'm here, man.
Every time you're in town or you come through, man.
Man, thank
y'all. What would you say was your best album?
Man, I would say B, Like Water for Chocolate, or this new album, Nobody Smiling.
Okay.
For real.
All right, it's The Breakfast Club. It's coming. The Breakfast Club.